This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together here in the sanctuary in the house of God and worshiping on live stream. Christ is with us and uniting us in worship today. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning for worship. And I want to invite all who are present either in person or online to register your attendance with us. There should be a link in the chat if you're worshiping online. Here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you would sign in and pass those along so that those at the end of the row can also sign in, that would be great. I want to say a special word of welcome to those who are visiting with us. And if you are interested in learning a little bit more about our congregation, you can share an email address or mailing address with us, and that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you. If you have been worshiping with us for a while and perhaps are looking for a new church to call your spiritual home, I want to let you know that the new member class is starting September 12th. There is an in-person option at 9:45 during the Sunday school hour here and a Zoom option at 5 p.m. on that same Sunday evening. It runs for 4 weeks, and you can register on our website if you go to westendumc.org. It's one of the first things that pops up. So we'd love for you to join us. If you are a college student, our college students are getting together for lunch today after the 11 o'clock service. So if you're in this service or you're worshiping online, you can come to the back of the sanctuary at noon and join other college students for lunch. Of course, we have been praying for and thinking a lot about our neighbors in Humphreys County with the recent flooding. And if you receive our Friday emails, there's information in the Friday email about how to donate. We understand the immediate need right now is monetary donations. So there should be a link in the chat if you're worshiping online. If you're here in the sanctuary and would like to make a donation, you can make it out to the church and put disaster relief in the memo line. And that money will go directly to help our neighbors in Humphreys County. We are, of course, praying this morning for our neighbors in New Orleans as Hurricane Ida begins to make its way toward the coast. There are many places across the world and in our own lives for which we are praying today. And the focus of our service today is the prayer of faith. And so I would invite you to bring all of those concerns that you are holding today, concerns and joys, and let this be a safe place, a loving place for God to hold us and to hold all of those things as we worship and pray together. I wanted to say a word for those of you in the sanctuary. We have provided little vials of oil that we will use later in the service if you choose to. If you are worshiping at home and would like to get a little bit of olive oil or something like that to have on hand for that part of our service, I would invite you to do that. This oil that we're providing is avocado oil with a little bit of frankincense. So if you're allergic to avocados, I wanted to let you know that that would not be safe for you to use this morning. But we will have some time for prayer and anointing, which is an ancient practice of the church, this morning at the end of the sermon. So let us bring all of our hearts into this time of worship as we meet our God of healing and hope.
Are any among us cheerful? Are any among us sick?
Let us ask for you.
Our help is in God, who made heaven and earth.
Let us join together and worship our God who heals.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are and that what we carry are held within God's perfect love. God knows us intimately and cares for us deeply, and compassion has no end. Loving God, you call us to patience and diligence in the painstaking work of your reign, but we get discouraged and give up too soon. You call us to collaborate in community in the painstaking work of your reign, but we never trust nor honor the gifts of others. You call us to be full of joyful confidence in the painstaking work of your reign, but we burden ourselves with anxiety and fear. Lord, have mercy. Forgive us and lead us in the ways of patience, community, and joy. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. We'll do that, obviously, with social distancing and however you feel most comfortable to pass the peace of Christ. And for those of you online, you can write in the chat or text message a friend. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today I am reading a lesson from the New Testament, James 5, 7 through 16. I'm really glad that Carol is preaching about this after I read it, because it has both challenged and troubled me, especially the ending of it. It is my prayer that at least part of this challenges and troubles you as well. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. We have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my beloved, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but lest your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all the children who are here in the sanctuary to come forward if you'd like and choose one of these fun little animal circles to sit on. Oh, look, Pastor Nancy's going to join us too. Here's another one. That's a sheep. Took me a minute. Okay. Wonderful. So good to see all of you. I hope for those of you who are in school that everything's going well at school. What a great group. And if we run out of circles, just spread out a little bit over here. We'll all be good. Wonderful. Welcome, welcome. Well, I want to tell you a story of something that happened to me in church. When I was about 24 years old, I was living in Washington, D.C., a really big city, and I had just moved there, and I didn't know many people, and I didn't have a church that I was going to. But something happened in my life that made me really sad. And so I decided on that Sunday morning I needed to go to church and just be with God in church and be with people in church. So I sat way in the back row. I didn't really want anybody to see me. But as we started singing a hymn, I started crying because I was sad about something. And at first I was kind of embarrassed that I was crying and I didn't want anybody to see me. But there was a sweet lady sitting a little bit further down the row from me. And she just scooted over, got close to me, and just handed me a Kleenex. And after the service, I said, "I'm so sorry. I was crying in church." And she said, "You should never be sorry for crying in church. If you can't cry in church, where else can you cry? What better place to cry and be sad than in church with God's people and with God?" That's one of the things I love about being part of a church family. We can be sad, we can be happy, we can be angry, we can be exactly who we are and know that we're welcomed and loved. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for the church, which we know is not a building, but is a group of people. Thank you for loving people who will accept us just as we are. Help us remember that we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to always be happy. We just have to be who we are. And your church will love us, and you will love us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. If you are 3 years old or 4 years old or 5 years old, you can go with Pastor Nancy to Children's Church. And there's Miss Emily, too. She's going to help out this morning. And if you are not 3 to 5, you can return to your seats with your families or friends. So Rob Bigelow and I were talking a little bit before the service about this passage of James and how part of it is a little troubling. If you worshiped with us last week, you heard a sermon about the first part of James, and maybe you got the impression, which would be an accurate impression, that I love the book of James. I absolutely love this little letter. It is so plain spoken and so direct and so clear about what it means to follow Jesus. I mean, James says these wonderful things like, it all boils down to this. Help widows and orphans in their distress. If you see someone who's hungry, feed them. Love your neighbor as yourself. There are other parts of James that we haven't heard in worship where he talks about watch what you say. The words that come out of your mouth can do a lot of harm, so be careful what you say. And he just gives these beautiful instructions all through his letter, and I find myself saying, yes, oh, that's good. I'm going to write that down. I love that. That's something I want to chew on and live with. And then we get to this passage right at the end of the letter. And there's this one verse that I really bumped up against this week. We bumped up against it in Bible study on Tuesday morning and spent some time wrestling with it. Maybe you heard it. The prayer of faith will save the sick. What does James mean by that? I'm not so sure I'm on board with James when it comes to this verse. Is James saying that if you have enough faith, if you just pray hard enough, then your sickness will go away? That you'll be cured of your diseases or your suffering will go away if only you have enough faith and pray hard enough? If that's what James means, I'm not sure I'm on board with that. I have seen too many people hurt and harmed by this very idea. I have seen how people who are sick or who have a child who is sick or a loved one have been told, well, you're just not praying hard enough, or obviously you don't have enough faith. And I just don't think that comes from the compassionate heart of God. And I've lived long enough to see people who walked through illness and walked through death with deep and abiding faith. Now, to be fair, James and his communities at the time believed that Jesus was coming back any day. So maybe that shapes a little bit of what he teaches. But the truth is, for us in the 21st century, unless Jesus comes back in the next 100 years or so, all of us in this room and all of us worshiping online at some point in the next 100 years are probably going to die. And most of us will die by natural causes, by some illness or another. And most of us worshiping together right now are dealing with some chronic illness or condition or pain, are suffering in some way. And I just don't believe that's because of a lack of faith or a failure to pray. So when we bump into a verse like this, how do we dig more deeply into it and interpret it? Well, some of the tools that I've learned over the years come in handy in a moment like this. One tool is to look at the context, to look at this verse and where it falls in James's letter, and if there are other things he says in this letter that might shed some light on this verse. And luckily for us, there's a passage in this particular text we've heard this morning that I think sheds some light on this verse. James begins this text that we heard by saying, be patient in suffering. He seems to acknowledge that suffering happens. It's part of life. And it's not because people deserve it. It's not because they've done something to bring it on themselves. It just happens. He mentions Job and the prophets. And if we read the book of Job, we see that things happen to Job. He loses members of his family. He gets sick. All of these things happen to him, even though he was a righteous man with a deep faith in God. And the whole book of Job is a prayer of Job having a conversation with God. And if we look at the prophets, so many of them suffered because they were faithful, because they spoke the truth of God to people in power or to people who didn't want to hear what they had to say. So that says to me that James understood that suffering and illness and struggle are part of life, and we need to walk through that time of life with faith and with patience and endurance, trusting that God is with us. So for me, that sheds a little light on this verse. Another tool that we have in the box is to do a little word study, to dive a little more deeply into one of the words of this verse. And the one that draws my attention is the word save. The prayer of faith will save the sick. What does James mean by that? Well, different English translations of the Bible use different words: will cure, will heal, will rescue, will save. The Greek word is the word sozo, which means all of those things. It's a word that shows up again and again and again in the Gospels. In Jesus' ministry, he is constantly sozoing people, healing people, saving people. But it looks different in different episodes. When Jesus sees the paralyzed man who comes before him, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." So there's something about this saving and healing that might involve forgiveness. When the 10 lepers are healed, Jesus sends them to the priests and says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Jesus knew that because of their illness, they had been excluded from the faith community. They had been isolated and outcast. And so part of their healing was not just the return of the wholeness of their skin, but the return to the worshiping community, inclusion again in the life of the community, reconciling of relationships. When Jesus healed people, it was more than just a cure. It was a return to wholeness, reconciliation, forgiveness. Sometimes our experiences of healing do not necessarily involve a cure, but they might involve something even deeper and more eternal than that. I've experienced that in my own life. As I've shared with you a few times over the years, my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's when she was 70 years old. She lived another 11 years. And I don't think that disease attacked her brain because she lacked faith. And I don't think it was the disease of Alzheimer's that ultimately ended her life because we, as her family, were not praying hard enough. I believe she developed the disease of Alzheimer's in her brain because that is what happened in this world that we live in. She was never cured of that disease. But I cannot tell you how much healing and faith and wholeness and grace came out of that journey with her. Don't get me wrong, there was terrible grief and many tears shed on that journey. But there was also this amazing reconciliation that happened between her and my father in their marriage. There was a coming together of all of us siblings to take turns in caring for her and doing what we could to support her and to support our dad and each other on that journey. There was a deeper understanding I received about what it means to love. When you're called to love someone who cannot respond in turn, who doesn't even know you're in the room, it taught me something about the way God loves us. And then those times when I would go in her room and there'd be a vase of flowers from her church. 10 years after she'd been in a nursing home, still saying, "We love you, we're praying for you, you are still part of us." So no, she was never cured of her disease. But she went through the threshold of death into eternal life, whole and held by the love and compassion of God and God's people. So I think this verse in James is a doorway into a deeper understanding of healing. And one of the things that James does in this text is to invite the people of God to create a community of trust where we bring to one another in God's presence our sickness, our suffering, our joys and celebrations. We confess our sins to one another. We create a family where it is welcome to be broken and hurting. And we join our prayers together for healing, whatever that looks like. One of the ancient practices of the church back in James' day has continued throughout the centuries when it comes to prayer for healing, and that is the anointing with oil. So if you're in the sanctuary this morning, you've had an opportunity to pick up one of these little vials of oil. And if you're at home and would like to have some oil on hand, invite you to do that. What I'd like to invite you to do, whether here in the sanctuary or at home, is to take these next few moments to offer to God whatever is on your heart this day. Some of you are struggling with an illness, chronic pain, grief, a broken relationship. Bring that to God. Some of you might want to pray on behalf of someone else in your life who is hurting or struggling or sick in body, mind, or spirit. Some of you may want to be in prayer for the people of Afghanistan or Haiti or New Orleans or Humphreys County. Or you might just want to lift up to God the brokenness of our world. We might all be praying different prayers in these next few moments, but we are praying together. And James assures us that the prayers of faith are something God works with to save and heal the world. So let us pray together.
The Lord hears our prayers. And we continue in a prayerful spirit in this moment when I invite you to rise in body or spirit and to join me in our affirmation of faith. Sometimes we forget that our affirmation of faith is also a prayer to God, saying that this is what we believe. And this is the God in whom we trust in all times. So if you would join me in this affirmation found on page 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue with this time of prayer, I invite you to continue to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers to God this morning. If you would like to share any prayer concerns that are on your hearts and minds with our pastoral team to pray for throughout the week, if you are worshiping online, you may do that by following the link under Contact Us on our website, and that link may also be in the chat at this time. If you are here in the sanctuary, there are also gray cards located in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering boxes in the narthex or in Reed Hall as you leave. It's a joyful day. We have these beautiful roses here on the communion table. And those roses are to celebrate two births that we announced this morning. First, the birth of Isaiah James Ilagan, who was born July 22nd to Jay and Shana Ilagan. And he is welcomed also by his grandmother, Olivia Ilagan. We also celebrate the birth of Hazel Scott Short, who was born on August 2nd to Chelsea and Adam Short. And she is welcomed also by big sister Laurel Short. Also, our prayers of compassion and sympathy are with the family of Beth Allen, who passed away on August 22nd. Services were held in Clarksville, Tennessee on August 27th. And among her survivors are her daughter and son-in-law, Shelby and Stacy Binkley. And now let us go to God as we continue our prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of steadfast love and grace, as we bring our weary bodies and souls into your presence this morning, we admit that it is hard to be patient, as James advises. It is hard to patiently stand firm and wait for your arrival among us. As a multitude of major natural and human tragedies seem to bombard our lives with pain and sorrow and a feeling of helplessness, we pray that now would be the time that you would indeed arrive among us. We need you with us in this moment. We pray for your comfort and strength. We pray for your wisdom and your guidance. We pray for your divine inspiration as we tend to the needs of our neighbors, both near and far. Right now, it seems and feels like suffering is everywhere. But when such suffering tempts us to despair, when such suffering makes us want to give up, we pray that you would awaken us to the strange and beautiful truth that you actually show up in the midst of suffering. In moments such as these, our patience is rewarded because you have arrived. We are thankful that you draw near to those of us who are hurting. Come, anoint us with oil and heal our wounds. Make us well again. We pray for so many people and places today that it's hard to enumerate them all. We pray for the people of Afghanistan as they face violence and fear and an uncertain future. We pray for the thousands of refugees who are leaving home and loved ones in order to build a new life. We pray for those persons, military and relief workers, who continue to put themselves in harm's way to assist those caught up in the violence and chaos. And we pray most especially for those persons, both American service persons and Afghan civilians, who lost their lives this week in a deadly attack. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for our neighbors in Tennessee who continue to recover from the aftermath of deadly flooding that upended life for so many in our state. We pray for others around the country and around the globe who have faced or continue to face natural disasters, from fires in the west to those in the path of an impending hurricane in the south. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for all who continue to be impacted by the ongoing COVID pandemic. Tend to the sick, comfort the hurting, and help us care for one another in these difficult days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray, and we pray. Our prayers go on and on because our need is so great. And we pray because we know our prayers are powerful and effective, because you are with us and you hear us. The waiting is over. In our time of need, you have drawn near. And so we pray. For ourselves, we pray. For all that is on our hearts and minds, we pray. And in the words of the Christ, we pray. As Jesus taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we simply invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes, the same ones I mentioned earlier in the Narthex and in Reed Hall, where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Let us go from this place to continue to be a praying people, knowing that throughout the week, wherever we are, our prayers are united as the people of God, and that God will work on us through these prayers to save the world. Amen.